Welcome to Carmen Madrid's podcast. Are you preparing for the Delhi B2 or C1 exam? This podcast is made just for you. Carmen Madrid is an accredited examiner from the Instituto Cervantes and your new tutor for this exam. Each episode features a conversation between two speakers generated using advanced AI technology. These conversations are about a previous episode of a Spanish podcast on the Delhi B2 and C1 exams. But that's not all. We offer a range of services to support your learning journey. One-on-one and group Spanish classes, books for Delhi preparation to help you study effectively, exclusive access to the News Club and Reading Club, plus our advanced grammar workshop to deepen your understanding of Spanish. You can find everything at DelhiExam.com. Join us in taking your Spanish to the next level. I'll leave you with my AI friends. Enjoy.
Today, we're getting really practical, really strategic. We're diving into a specific challenge, the DELE B2 Spanish exam.
Yes, the written part especially. It catches a lot of people out.
Exactly. And we're zeroing in, laser focus, on task 2, option 2, the opinion article.
Right, the one that asks for more than just reporting facts.
Yeah, this isn't just about your Spanish level, is it? It feels like it tests your ability to think and structure under serious pressure, time pressure especially.
It absolutely does. And our mission today, as I see it, is to really unpack the advice from the sources we've studied, tips from examiners, teachers.
Yeah, pull out those key strategic nuggets, the stuff you actually need to know to walk in feeling prepared, not panicked.
Exactly. Make it feel less like a terrifying unknown and more like, well, a structured exercise.
Okay, so before we get into the weeds of the article itself, maybe frame task 2 for us. You mentioned there's a choice.
Good idea. Yeah, so task 2 gives you two options. Option 1 is usually, let's say, more objective. You might get a graph, some statistics.
Data analysis, basically.
Pretty much. Analyze that, write about it. But option 2, the opinion article we're focusing on, is different.
How so?
It usually starts with a short text, maybe a news brief, or a statement about a current issue.
Okay.
And from that, you need to develop your own argument. Express your personal opinion, back it up, maybe compare viewpoints. It's really a shift from just describing to persuading.
Right, you're making a case for something. Got it. Okay, let's talk logistics then, because the strategy means nothing if you run out of time. The whole written test is 80 minutes.
80 minutes total, yes. But you have to be smart about how that slices up.
Because task 1 involves listening first, doesn't it?
Exactly. There's about 10 minutes of audio input, listening, taking notes, before you even write for task 1.
Okay, so 10 minutes gone there.
And then critically, you absolutely must leave time at the very end, say 5 minutes minimum, just to review both pieces of writing, catch those little errors.
Okay, so 80 minus 10 minus 5, that leaves around 65 minutes.
For both writing tasks, task 1 and task 2.
Wow, okay. So for task 2, which means reading the prompt, reading the little news piece, choosing option 2, planning it, writing it, what are we talking
about? Realistically, you're looking at about 35 minutes, maybe 40 if you're super quick on task 1. But 35 is a safer bet to plan for.
35 minutes, that's tight.
It is. One source used a great analogy. It's like dividing a pizza. You start with 80 minutes, seems okay. Mm-hmm. But then you slice off time for listening, time for review, time for task 1.
And suddenly the slice for task 2 looks a lot smaller.
Precisely. It vanishes fast. You need to be really disciplined.
And then there's the word count adding pressure. It's super specific, 150 to 180 words.
Yes, the precision zone, as we could call it. It has to be al dente, just right.
What happens if you go under 150?
Well, you almost certainly haven't developed your points enough or maybe missed one of the instructions in the prompt. It signals a lack of content, basically, and you'll lose points.
Okay, makes sense. But what about aiming for, say, 179 words, pushing the limit? Is that smart or risky?
It's generally riskier than you'd think for two main reasons.
Go on.
First, simple maths. The more words you write, the higher the probability of making small mistakes. Agreement errors, typos, wrong prepositions.
Right. More text, more chances to slip up.
Exactly. And second, maybe more importantly, writing those extra 10 or 15 words takes time. Time you desperately need for that final review phase we just talked about.
So aiming for the middle, maybe 160, 170, is probably the smarter play.
Generally, yes. Hit the core requirements well, be concise, and leave yourself that crucial 5 minutes to polish and catch errors. That's usually the path to a better score.
All right, time and length constraints understood. Now let's dig into the task itself, this opinion article. Who are you supposed to be when you write it? What's the role?
Yeah, good question. You're basically stepping into the shoes of a columnist for about half an hour.
Okay.
The prompt might say you're writing for, I don't know, a university website, a local community forum, maybe an online magazine.
And the topics are usually quite serious.
Generally, yes. Things like environmental issues, technology's impact, education policy, globalization.
Yeah.
Current, relevant stuff. You'll get that little news piece to react to.
So it's not just pulling an opinion out of thin air. It's grounded in that text they give you.
Exactly. You use the text as a springboard. You have to refer to the issue it raises, but then develop your own stance, your own argument about it.
Which means the key skills here are things like expressing opinions clearly, obviously, but also arguing, justifying.
Making valuations, comparing ideas, maybe suggesting solutions. It's all about constructing a persuasive piece. You're trying to convince the reader your viewpoint has merit.
Okay, and to do that effectively in, 170 words in 35 minutes, structure must be absolutely critical.
Non-negotiable. And The Force has had a couple of really memorable ways to think about this.
Yeah, the sandwich and the olive. I remember reading that. Let's break that down.
Okay, the sandwich is your basic framework. Super simple. Two slices of bread and the filling.
Bread being the introduction and conclusion.
Exactly. And the filling, the main part, is the body. Intro, body, conclusion. That three-part structure is essential for a formal article like this.
Got it. So what's the olive?
The olive? Maybe a stuffed olive is the title.
The title? Seems obvious, but is it easy to forget?
Apparently, yes. If you forget the title, you're immediately marked down for not respecting the basic features of the genre. Needs to be there, and ideally it should be a bit catchy and reflect your article's angle or opinion.
Okay, sandwich for structure, olive for the title. Let's focus on the filling then, the body. That's where the real argument happens, right?
That's where you develop your points, give your reasons. And one really strong technique the source has mentioned is including a counter-argument.
Okay, explain that. Why bring up the opposing view?
Because it shows a higher level of thinking and language command. It shows you understand the issue isn't black and white.
So you briefly mentioned what someone else might argue.
Right. You might say something like, some people believe that. Opposing idea, or it's true that, concession. But then, and this is key, you immediately pivot back and refute it or reinforce your own point, often using a strong connector, like, however the reality is, or nevertheless, the long-term benefits outweigh this.
So you acknowledge it, but then knock it down or minimize it.
Precisely.
Yeah.
It adds real depth and persuasive power, even in a short text. It's a classic B2 level move that shows you can handle complexity.
That's a great tip. And just to round off the structure, intro sets the scene and your position, body argues with reasons, and maybe that counter argument, and conclusion sums up and gives a final thought.
Perfect. And crucially, you have to make sure you explicitly address all the points mentioned in the instructions for the task. If it says explain problems and give advice, you got to make sure you've clearly explained problems and given advice.
Don't just write generally about the topic. Hit those specific bullet points.
Exactly. Check them off as you go.
Okay. Executing that structure, especially the argument in the body, needs the right tools. Let's talk grammar. The sources really hammered home the importance of the subjunctive, didn't they? That thing that gives learners nightmares.
Oh, absolutely. The subjunctive is kind of unavoidable in this task.
Yeah.
You simply can't write a convincing opinion piece at B2 level without using it correctly and, well, reasonably often.
Why specifically for this task, though?
Because the entire task revolves around functions that trigger the subjunctive in Spanish. You're constantly expressing opinions, making value judgments. It's important now. It's ridiculous that. Giving advice or recommendations. I suggest that. Expressing doubt or negation. I don't think that. It's not true as that.
Okay. So almost every time you try to state your view strongly, you're likely stepping into subjunctive territory.
Pretty much. If you say, es fundamental que nosotros reciclemos más, it's essential that we recycle more, that reciclemos has to be subjunctive because es fundamental que demands it. Or, no creo que sea fácil. I don't think it's easy. Si is subjunctive after, no creo que.
So if your subjunctive is shaky,
then almost every sentence where you're trying to make your core argument is at risk of containing a grammatical error. And that just pulls your score down fast. It's not just about knowing the rules. It's about deploying them accurately to fulfill the task's purpose.
That makes perfect sense. It's a functional necessity here.
Yeah.
Okay, besides the subjunctive, what about flow? Connectors. The sources said without them, the text is like, what, dry spaghetti?
Yeah, something like that. Dry and hard to swallow. Connectors are absolutely vital for guiding the reader through your argument. They're the signposts.
And we need to move beyond basic ones like and or but,
yeah,
right, for B2.
Definitely. You need to show a range of more sophisticated connectors.
Yeah.
Think about their function.
Okay, like what? Give us some examples.
Well, for adding points or developing an idea, instead of just E and, use things like además, furthermore, así mismo, likewise, or de hecho, in fact.
Okay, good. What about for contrasting or bringing in that counter argument?
Instead of just pero, but try sin embargo. However, no obstante, nevertheless, a pesar de que, despite of. Much stronger.
Right. And crucially for signaling the end.
Absolutely critical to have a clear concluding phrase. Not just stopping. Use en conclusion. En conclusion, por consiguiente. Consequently, therefore, en resumen. In summary. Using these correctly and appropriately throughout the text is a clear signal of B2 competence.
Okay, let's shift to actually doing it on the day. 35 minutes. The sources talked about three stages. Scheme, or outline, draft, border, and final version.
Yes, and this is probably one of the most critical pieces of practical advice in the sources. It's about the draft.
What about it? Seems sensible to write a draft first.
It seems sensible, but here's the tough advice. Unless you have practiced writing opinion articles at home under timed conditions, and you know for a fact you could do a decent outline, a full draft, and write the final version neatly within that 35-minute window.
Yeah.
Then do not attempt a full draft in the real exam.
Really? Just write the final version straight out. Isn't that incredibly risky? What if you mess up badly?
It sounds risky, I know. But think about it. If you spend, say, 20 minutes writing a messy draft, you're left with only 15 minutes to write the actual thing the examiner grades, plus review it.
Okay.
The chances of rushing, making mistakes, or even not finishing the final version become extremely high. And the stress of knowing you're running out of time can be paralyzing.
So what's the alternative then, if not a full draft?
A much more detailed scheme or outline. Spend a solid 5, maybe 7 minutes on this. Really map it out.
Like bullet points for each paragraph.
Yeah, more than that. Write down your main idea for the intro, the key arguments for the body, maybe 2 or 3. Jot down the specific B2 vocabulary or connectors you want to use for each point. Note the subjunctive verbs you'll need. Plan your conclusion. Make it a really strong skeleton.
Okay, a robust outline.
Exactly. Then you write the final version directly from that detailed plan. You're basically just fleshing out the skeleton you've already built.
What if there's one bit you're really unsure how to phrase?
Then maybe just draft that one tricky sentence, or perhaps the counterargument section, on a separate piece of paper. You can ask for extra scrap paper, but don't draft the whole thing.
That's counterintuitive, but makes a lot of sense from a time management perspective. Focus effort on the graded piece.
Precisely. Maximize the time spent on the version that actually counts. Practice this method at home first, though.
Definitely sounds like something to practice. Okay, let's do some quick-fire tips for exam day itself. What else should people keep in mind?
Right, quick hits. Get good rest the night before. Seems obvious, but it matters.
Sure does.
Eat something beforehand. Maybe have some sugary candy right before you go in. Little energy boost for the brain.
Okay, glucose power.
Arrive early. Don't add travel stress to exam stress. And when you sit down, read the actual task instructions, the specific points you need to cover. Read them carefully, maybe 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, you don't want to write a brilliant article on the wrong topic.
Exactly. Like writing about remote working when they asked about fast food impacts, even if they seem vaguely related. Pay attention to the specific question.
And maintain the right register. Right, it's formal.
Absolutely. It's an article, not a text message to your mate. Use formal language. Use form as forms appropriate depending on context, but generally avoid overly casual slang.
Okay. And practice. The sources suggested at least a month of consistent practice beforehand.
Yes, that's key. You need to get the timing and the structure ingrained.
And after all that, you finally finish writing. What's the very last, maybe most crucial step?
Review. Review. Review again.
The Pokemon analogy from the source. Gotta catch them all. Find those errors before the examiner does.
Exactly. You absolutely have to build in time for this and do it effectively. But it's harder than it sounds.
Why is it hard? You just read it over, don't you?
Because your brain plays tricks on you. It knows what you meant to write. So when you just quickly reread it, your brain often automatically corrects the errors on the page without you even noticing them. You skip right over typos or grammar mistakes.
Ah, right. You see what you think is there.
Precisely. So you need a strategy to force your brain to slow down and see what's actually on the page.
Okay, what kind of strategy works?
Couple things. One trick is to read your article backwards.
Backwards, like the last sentence first, then the second to last.
Exactly. Sentence by sentence from end to beginning. It breaks the logical flow, so you're not reading for meaning anymore. You're forced to look at each sentence in isolation, which makes grammatical errors or awkward phrasing jump out more.
That's clever. A bit weird, but clever.
It works. Another technique, maybe even better, is to try and imagine reading it aloud, slowly, even mouthing the words silently.
How does that help?
It engages a different part of your brain. It forces you to process the sounds and rhythm of the language, which can help you catch missing words, awkward structures, incorrect agreements, or those pesky missing accents that your eyes might slide over. You hear the mistakes.
Read it as if you were proofreading someone else's work, essentially.
That's a great way to put it. Detach yourself, be critical, hunt for those errors systematically.
Okay, let's try and wrap this all up then. Our deep dive into the DELE B2 opinion article, Task 2, Option 2. Key takeaways seem to be: clock management is fierce about 35 minutes.
Yep, 35 minutes max.
Word count is strict, 150 to 180. Hit that zone.
Not too little, not too much.
Structure is king. The sandwich, intro, body, conclusion, and the olive. The title. Don't forget the title.
Absolutely. Essential framework.
Master the tools. Subjunctive is crucial for expressing opinions and valuations. Use varied, sophisticated connectors for flow.
Can't get B2 without them, really.
Strategy matters. Detailed outline is usually better than a full draft under pressure. Practice that approach.
Time management is key.
And finally, review like your score depends on it. Because it does. Use tricks like reading backwards or aloud to catch those errors.
Gotta catch them all.
So, thinking bigger picture for a moment, this task really seems to be testing more than just Spanish, doesn't it?
I think so. It's testing your ability to organize complex thoughts, build a logical argument, and do it all clearly and concisely under significant time pressure. That's a high-level communication skill, regardless of language.
Which maybe raises a question for anyone listening, right? When you're preparing for any kind of important communication, maybe it is this exam, maybe it's a presentation at work, maybe a crucial email, how much focus are you putting on the structure?
Yeah, the architecture of your message. Are you just worried about finding the right words, the vocabulary? Or are you really thinking about the logical flow, the connective tissue holding it all together, the grammatical precision needed to make it convincing?
Because maybe that structure is the real foundation for communicating effectively, especially under pressure. Something to think about.
Build the frame first, then hang the words on it. Good luck to everyone tackling this, and may the subjunctive be ever in your favor.
Great advice. Thanks for breaking that down.
My pleasure.